everybody. The clerk will call the roll for city council meeting started at 6:04 PM.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Kirby? Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. Muto?
Here.
Mr. Napa?
Yep.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Nine present.
If Councilman DeLuise will please lead us in a salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now if our special guest, Michael Bissett, could please lead us in the national anthem. Thank you very much. And Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is with great sadness that I am going to ask for a moment of silence for my good friend and so many others, Mr. Ed Murphy. Mr. Ed Murphy has been a dedicated, loyal servant to the city for many, many years, as well as to the Board of Canvassers. He served in the position of the head administrator. Was a very loyal individual, very caring, a very humble person, and it is a great loss in the passing of Mr. Murphy. So I would request a moment of silence, please.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. If we could please have a moment of silence. All right, first up, we have PCO 6-26, an ordinance amending section 60-500, assuming my crossout doesn't cover it, of the Code of Ordinances to provide flexibility in city OPEB contributions that would exceed those matching employee contributions for the period until the state reimbursement on school construction debt service begins. This would be first passage. So we got here in kind of a different way than normal, so I want to make sure everyone knows where we're at. So this is going to be before the full council. However, the hopeful path forward is that we'll first have an introduction of a potential amendment and then have it so that the administration can explain, and then also have it so that the public can then speak, and then after that we'll close the public comment and then be able to do the council's. And bear in mind, that's the plan for all three of these items, not just for this one, so we're all clear. For this one, again, just to help orient everyone before we get into the discussion, bear in mind, we're here to discuss the option to allocate the funds above and beyond the contractually agreed to funds to go into the OPEB trust fund, which would be approximately $5 million for this year, the purpose of which would be, in this case, to allocate that money towards the school bond debt. The reason for that is that the alternative would be to, as stated so far, the alternative would be to either take from the budget, so a loss of services, and as at least one that the mayor pointed out the last meeting, would be the, for instance, the loss of service doing trash pickup half as much was one example. Or alternatively, we could take it from the rainy day fund. The problem with taking it from the rainy day fund is that we would lose interest that would accrue. And more importantly, it could be a potential hit to our bond or credit rating, which could have financial impacts of it up itself. And to be clear, we're not talking about messing with any of the collective bargaining agreements at all. Far from it, especially because we don't actually have the ability to mess with them here. We are talking about specifically the ordinance that was giving money above and beyond that. We're also not talking about interfering with benefits guaranteed to current employees or retirees. We are strictly talking about OPEB. We're not talking about pension. Again, we have no authority to mess with the benefits. Regardless of what happens here tonight, the benefits for retirees and anyone else who receives OPEB will still happen. If it's not paid via the trust, it'll be paid via the method that we've always done, which is the pay-as-you-go model. And indeed, that is the method that we would be using anyway for probably decades, because you have to wait till the trust gets up to a certain amount before you can pull from it anyway. So doing this diversion temporarily doesn't actually hurt anyone. It's only the alternatives that stand to hurt. That being said, there is the one impact that's not ideal is that by doing a diversion of funds each year, should we choose to do so, because again, this actually only gives the option for such, and then when it comes time for the budgets, we'll actually be discussing it further then. We will lose out on the interest that would have accrued from that. So that is a fact. That is a fair point, if anyone was going to mention it. That is arguably the only financial hit we take in that regard. And so it's important to note the financial hit on the other end, as far as if we took from the rainy day fund or the credit bond rating hits. So those are all realities of the situation. All that being said, first, a proposed amendment. Councilman Gebhardt.
Mr. President, a point of order, please.
Yep.
I would like to, at this time, make a request to suspend the rules, given the significance, financial significance of this particular item, and not just in the short term, but in the long term, and suspend the council rules as it applies to a 10-minute limitation on individual comments.
You said the times, right?
I'm sorry?
You said times?
To suspend the 10-minute.
All right, I just want to make sure I heard you right. I apologize. All right, so there's a request. So can you just let it go? It's not really a point of order. It's a request. Can we do he has a motion that he was called upon to make. Can we then go to you after the motion so you can make your motion to suspend the rules?
I'm sorry, what was the beginning you said?
So I had already called on Councilman Gebhardt to make his motion that he's going to make. Can we then immediately go to you so then you can make your motion?
Sure.
All right, just to keep everything ordered. So Councilman Gebhardt?
Yes, you'll recall at around 12:30 in the evening last Monday, I introduced an amendment. During the time from when I introduced that amendment till now, I've had the opportunity to work with the city administration to refine that amendment. So I'll enter that amendment into the record here. So if you are looking at PCO 626, subsection C, which starts during the period of time from when the city makes any debt service payments for the construction of new high schools and refurbishment of existing schools up until such time the state begins full reimbursement of the debt service payment, the city may, at its discretion, reduce its payment to the OPEB fund, provided that such amount is sufficient to match employee contributions, and that's where it ends. The amendment introduces a second sentence, which follows and begins, in the budget year, following the commencement of full state reimbursement for debt service, the city will begin repaying the OPEB trust for any previously deferred amounts as confirmed by the actuary. Repayment may occur over a maximum of 4 years. That is the
second.
All right, motion made and seconded. So now discussion. But first, I know Councilman Lattiser, you want to make a motion to suspend the rules?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to make a motion to suspend the council rules, limiting the public comment on this, including our own comment, for the 10-minute rule.
So just the 10-minute provisions?
Yes. So it's not limiting anyone's comments to just 10 minutes.
So is there a second regarding that request? All right, so discussion?
The reason for my request is, I think it's pretty obvious. This is a huge financial issue that involves not just the people in this room, but all of the taxpayers, all of the employees. And in the long term, you're talking a lot more than $50 million. And in the big picture, it's a lot more serious, in my opinion, than that. And I think to limit the discussion to 10 minutes on such a significant issue is not right. It's not fair. And that's why I made the motion to amend the council rules to suspend that.
All right, Councilman Gebhardt, your light's on.
I would just say that in the interest of keeping things moving, that we maintain our rules and not leave them open-ended. However, if there is a speaker who has more points than can be enumerated in 10 minutes, that we address the problem should it come up. I don't think we need to make the entire session open-ended. You'll recall that most other cities have a limit somewhere in the 2 to 3 minute range, as does the state. They deal with substantially higher sums of money in those hearings. So there's nothing to be said that a cogent point can't be made in less than 10 minutes. So I'll vote no.
All right, Councilman Foley.
First, I'd like to request of my colleagues and anyone in the audience who's going to speak, please lean into the microphone. I have a hearing device, and Councilman Gebhardt, you and I are very friendly. I barely heard what you, with this on, I barely heard what you said. These comments are important tonight. I want to hear them. So please, if you're speaking, speak into your microphone. That's A. I am speaking against the doing away with the 10-minute rule. For my 5 years on the council this time, I have been the timekeeper at the Finance Committee meeting, and I went back and checked my notes, figuring someone would request this tonight, and I was able to find maybe 20 times in the 5 years where the 10-minute wasn't enough, and that was probably because people were repeating themselves 2 and 3 times. Council President, the rule is not to repeat something someone else has already said, not to repeat what you have said on the record on this matter, but as Councilman Gebhardt said, to be succinct and to the point so we can deal with this measure. I see a good crowd of Warwick citizens here waiting to speak. I don't want someone here to have to wait till 8 o'clock tonight to speak. So I think what Councilman Gebhardt said is how I would be voting on a need-to basis. If someone has hit the 10-minute mark and requests another 2 or 3 minutes, then we take it up on a case-by-case basis.
Councilman Napa?
I just share the concerns of Councilman Foley and Councilman Gebhardt that we do have a fair amount of citizens here that want to be heard, I would assume, and I wouldn't want to cut anyone short if someone speaks rather long-windedly and takes up a fair amount of time. Now, if that person does have something to say and they go beyond the 10 minutes, I'm more than happy to give that person more than adequate time. However, I would hate to see anyone here that wants to be heard run out of time because we run to the end of the meeting. So that's my only caution.
Councilman Lattiser.
Just so you all know, I'm not here to rush this thing through. And if it means we have to be here for a little longer than you'd like, so be it. There's also a lot of people in this room who are not informed, or not totally informed, and have questions that they may need to have answered. And 20 times over 5 years, okay, that does not speak to how many times suspending the rules was denied. We have three items on the agenda tonight. This is the biggest of all. This impacts a lot of people. And if we can't give people a few extra minutes that need it to speak their mind, then that is makes no sense to me. So sure, you can do it on a one-on-one basis, and I will withdraw my motion if this council guarantees that if someone is needing an extra several minutes to complete their position, that'll be granted. And not granted because we like the person or we happen to agree or disagree with what they're saying. It's if someone needs an additional several minutes, I'm not talking double the time frame, if they need an additional 5 minutes to finish what they have to say, it'll automatically be granted. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
I will not stand by and let my words be twisted. I am not rushing anything through tonight. What I said was I felt for my constituents and that we don't need to hear the same point over and over. That's A. B, a case-by-case basis doesn't mean you guarantee before you get to that point that you're going to give time. A case-by-case basis is you ask the person, do you have any other points to make? So asking us to guarantee ahead of time is not what case-by-case means. Again, on a case-by-case basis, let's judge whether or not people need more time.
I never said I was speaking to you. Hold on.
We're not
going to
do back and forth. We're not going to do that. So we've so far we've spent 10 minutes talking about something, and so it doesn't seem like we're using our time well so far. And it does feel like we're putting the cart before the horse insofar as there isn't actually an issue yet that anyone has had where they've run out of time tonight. Because again, we haven't even started. And it is also worth noting that we did start discussion on this at the last meeting. So it's not like we have never discussed this issue at all. Granted, the amendment is new before us. So that is fair to point out. We did not discuss the amendment because it wasn't before us. But people can vote whoever they want to vote. We can't guarantee what Councilman Lattiser is saying. It's not, I understand your point. We can't do that other than with via motion. So I'm inclined to just have the clerk call the roll, but Councilman Gebhardt, your light's on.
Given that the motion was withdrawn, does anyone need to hear the amendment again?
So the motion wasn't withdrawn
because
it was conditioned on something that we can't fulfill.
Oh, can we call the question then?
All right. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Mr. DeLuise?
I need a clarification.
Oh, so a no vote would be... No, that's a perfectly fair question. I should have stated it. So sorry, Councilman DeLuise. So right now before us is the motion to suspend the rules regarding a 10-minute time limit. So a no vote means you're saying no to that motion, so we're clear. So no from me, no from Councilman DeLuise, and please continue.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
3-6, motion fails.
All right, so back to the amendment itself. Councilman Gebhardt has introduced it. There was a first, there was a second. If the administration would like to speak regarding the proposed amendment.
Good evening, Bill Facente, Chief Staff to Mayor Picozzi. Spent most of the day talking to many retirees that I have not spoken to in quite a few years. It was good to catch up, but it's also good to clear up some misinformation. As the council president mentioned, this ordinance change does not affect any retirees' pension benefits, health coverage benefits. We're not borrowing against any funds. We're not borrowing against any retirement plan. We're not borrowing money against OPEB. We're not taking a loan against any fund. What we are asking for is the discretion to defer putting in a portion of the reduction in what the actuary tells us to put into the municipal pension contribution. So the actuary does an analysis every year, and they tell us how much we should put in to keep the pension system, municipal pension, police and fire, all the pensions funded and functioning well based on market returns. What they've told us is that we, based on the market returns and how well-funded the municipal pension fund is, currently at 84.5%, we can make a smaller contribution from the municipal side. Prior to 2024, we wouldn't be having this discussion. 2024, we started the OPEB Trust. The OPEB Trust ordinance calls for any reduction in the pension contributions on the city side to be put into the OPEB Trust to use it as seed money. The OPEB Trust is a 30-year funding plan. Okay? What we're asking for is a deferment of the funding for 1, 2, possibly 3 years, depending on the state reimbursement for the schools. We're not changing the pension contributions to the pension systems, any of them. We're putting in what is required by the actuary. Prior to 2024, this money would have just gone into the general fund. Because of the ordinance and the way it's written, it goes to the OPEB contribution. This year, in 2027, coming up, the city is facing almost $16 million in school bond principal and interest payments. We still have municipal bonds that we sold years ago, totaling approximately $2 million. So we're looking at almost $18 million in debt service, principal and interest, in 2027 alone. The voters approved the two high schools and $350 million bond and the other previous bonds for the elementary and middle schools. The plan has always been to use the general fund, the fund balance, and any reduction in the contribution requirement per the actuary. The options are, if we don't do the $5 million, if we don't approve this ordinance, then the city would be forced to take an extra $5 million out of the fund balance or raise the taxes or cut services, lay off employees. Okay? What we're asking for is the opportunity to defer the $5 million contribution this year. And in the ordinance that Councilman Gebhardt read, the city is willing to pay it back. And we're only deferring, asking for the ability to defer it until such time as a state starts to reimburse the city for the schools. The schools will not be reimbursed until substantial completion, which is estimated in FY29. Pilgrim is a little bit behind schedule, so that may take till FY30. It's clear in the ordinance that the city is committed to repaying this, any deferred amount in principal, back to the OPEB trust. Keep in mind, the OPEB trust plan was a 30-year plan. It's in the infancy right now. We've done 2 years. We're doing very well with it. We're still putting in 1.25 million from the employees. We're putting in 1.25 as required from the employer, the city. We're asking to move the $5 million into the general fund to be able to help reduce the burden on the taxpayers in one way or another, either cost of borrowing, reducing the cost of borrowing, or reducing the tax rate. That's where we are, and contrary to anything that has been sent out, we're not borrowing, we're not affecting any retirees. This has nothing to do with anyone's benefits or current benefits that people are receiving.
All right, if possible, can we do a vote on the amendment just to have the full ask before us, before we go to public comment and then the full council? I see lots of lights coming on that are either saying yes to that or no to that. So is this in regards to what I just said or elsewise? Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. So what exactly is the effect of the amendment compared to not having that particular sentence there? Is the effect of the current ordinance, the current legislation as it's written, would that be requiring the immediate payment upon the reimbursement, or would that be leaving it open-ended that, oh yeah, at the end of the 30-year OPEB plan, then maybe we can go ahead and put the money back, restore it at that point? So by putting in that particular language of 4 years, well, what's that changing it from? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. The item before us was never completed for a vote on anything for an amendment. So the purpose of Councilman Gephardt's amendment that he fine-tuned is to put a payback provision into the proposal. So as drafted in its original form before you, it does not have language requiring that deferred amount to go back in. The amendment seeks to put guardrails in place to say that those funds deferred shall go back in under the timelines presented.
Does that answer your question?
Not entirely. So if the amendment were to fail, what would be the requirement as to the timeline for payback?
There wouldn't be one.
Okay, thank you.
So I guess a better way to go about this, assuming now we know what we're talking about, is there any objection to voting on the amendment just to get the full ask before us? If there is, then we'll go through everything.
I have a clarifying question.
That seems fair.
Clarifying question. Would you mind reading the amendment one more time? I heard too many mays in there.
Absolutely. So Councilman Gephardt's amendment would add two new sentences that currently follow the new language in the blue C, subsection C, which is the original component. So the new language says, in the budget year following the commencement of full state reimbursement for debt service, the city will begin repaying the OPEB trust for any previously deferred amounts as confirmed by the actuary. Repayment may occur over a maximum of 4 years.
So it's that May that I'm really reacting to, where May over 4 years, so we could technically be extending this 7 years, 8 years. We're deferring 3 years, possibly four, And then once we get reimbursed, we can, it'll take another up to, or May, up to 4 years to pay back. So it's a total of 8 years, potentially. Am I interpreting that properly?
The amendment adds a timeline that begins in a few years and extends potentially for a few years. So yes, in generalities.
So the opportunity cost could be potentially up to 8 years.
That is certainly a theoretical. That is possible. It would be the result of what each council decides year after year as to the extent to which they decide to use the tool and to the extent that they, within that window of time, want to complete their obligation to return the funds.
The administration appears to seek to say something.
So the ordinance only allows for the deferment of the OPEB trust funds from the municipal pension contribution until such time as the state starts reimbursing. The state's, like I said, I believe it's FY29. I don't know about Pilgrim, but that could be FY29 as well. Once FY29 comes, we can't defer the payment into the OPEB trust any longer. And we have 4 years to repay what we did defer. So in all intents and purposes, it would be about 2 years, possibly three, depending on funding from the state getting the reimbursement. That's when we stop. So the repayment could take up to 4 years, but the withdrawals are only going to be for up to the time when the state reimburses us, which was right now FY29 is what they've told us. So there'll be 2 years potentially of deferred into the OPEB trust.
Yeah, and the point of me seeking to make this get the full ask before everybody is that it doesn't mean you're comfortable with a 4-year timeline. It's just saying, yes, you do want to mandate repayment, and yes, you do want there to be a timeline for it. And then once that's all before us, we can say, all right, but am I comfortable with that as a whole, or do I want to change any of the pieces of it? It just makes it easier for actually us to discuss things rather than to keep talking about speculations regarding really every aspect of it.
But I think that's the point, is to understand all the aspects before we vote. So with a payback period of 4 years, especially when we're going to get the refund of the $23 million beforehand, why is it taking the city or the administration 4 years to pay instead of moving it from one to the other?
I think so. If we don't want to do the amendment, so I'm assuming, yes, you object to the prospect of putting the full ask before us then, because you wanted to speak. All right. So then so be it. So can we have a motion, please, to suspend the rules to open for public comment so we can allow the public to speak? So a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing for public comment. All right. Motion made. All right. Any objection to opening for public comment? All right. Hearing none. So open. So if anyone, members of the public, wish to speak, please come up to the mic. Just state your name before having at it. Bear in mind, I have to maintain decorum, which includes gaveling you or speaking up if you try to do personal attacks, if you're being repetitive, et cetera.
Council President, just point of order or point of something. I'm not sure what to call this. Request. Could the solicitor maybe circulate or email to members of the council the proposed amendment so I can actually see it? Or can we get that printed and circulated in short order?
I didn't hear the question.
I just want to get a hard copy or an email copy of the proposed amendment printed and circulated between the council so we can actually see it.
He's on it.
Thank you.
Bear in mind, when it comes to this discussion, be it from the members of the public or from the council, we do have to stay on topic and on the correct subject. I don't want to have to interrupt anybody, so please try to make sure to stay on topic, because bear in mind, we were discussing specifically PCO 6-26, which is the ordinance seeking to amend about OPEB and providing flexibility, et cetera. We're not discussing other aspects of the budget or anything like that. All right, so Go ahead. My apologies.
Thank you. Michelle Comar, Ward 1. I appreciate your directions, Council President. My comment, my concern is some unknowns. Both the ordinance and the amendment address this reimbursement, this full reimbursement from RIDE. When is that going to occur? And I understand from the last meeting, the council had this issue before them, that both the high schools had to finish construction and the athletic fields need to be completed. And we know that the school department was short money. The $50 million bond did not pass. How are the athletic field component going to be funded? And was that 2029 date that the chief of staff gave, is that just for the school buildings or also the athletic fields? And the last component of that question is, how are the athletic fields funded? Because if there's more debt or more bills to pay by the taxpayers, maybe we don't have money at that time out of the RIDE reimbursement, because this is going to prolong out, to pay it back right away without more burden on the taxpayer. It's a matter of timing. And there's unknowns on when the athletic ball fields will be completed and how they are funded. I'll start there. Thank you.
So, Lynn, if you're able to respond, please.
So, sorry, I know it's very blinding looking that way. The taxpayers of the city have said they want to spend $350 million on two schools, and the city's intent is to stick to that. The building committee is working on plans for that to be enacted. We assume that substantial completion of the schools will happen in 29. I have no reason to think otherwise at the moment. And then the reimbursement will be about $22 million from the state at that time.
And can you identify yourself?
Sorry, I'm Lynn Proger, Finance Director.
Thank you. Ms. Comar, do you have anything else?
Yes, I missed the answer. When are the athletic fields going to be completed? Are they not required by RIDE to be completed for the full reimbursement in addition to the school buildings themselves?
They are, in fact, required, and the intent is they will be completed in 29.
And what is the source of funding for the athletic fields, please?
The building committee is working on it.
Well, this is a great concern. What is it going to cost the city, the taxpayers? I think there's that big unknown at this point in time. And this bond was passed in 2022 by the taxpayers. And we don't have all our costs in line for funding of part of the component that RIDE is looking for, which is ball field construction, as well as school buildings for the reimbursement, which is $314, I'll just use a round number, million dollars. I think it's premature to develop a plan today until we know the date, the athletic fields, and we meet all the requirements for RIDE reimbursement. We're just guessing, and we don't know the implications of that to the city budget in the future, the taxpayer burden, and any kind of payback within 4 years. We don't know how we're footing the bill for the athletic fields. So I would think we're premature in voting on this tonight because we don't have all the funding sources disclosed, so we can really plan intelligently and accurately ahead for any kind of payback. And just to benefit my friends that may have showed up for the first time tonight, the OPEB funds, Council President, I'll ask you this question. You can have somebody answer this that you like. What do they really entail? Are they just the retirees' free health care, no copay, or are there any other benefits that this funds are diverted from?
So that's a fair point. OPEB stands for Other Post-Employment Benefits, typically by definition non-pension. I don't know if the administration wants to comment on any particulars in that regard.
Are you asking what the intent of the OPEB trust is exactly? The intent of the OPEB trust is, so in our budget every year, we do fund healthcare for our retirees. We've started a trust a few years ago with the intent of putting a little bit of money aside to be able to pay that bill in the future. Not dissimilar to one of our pension funds. The only way that that money can be spent, because it's in an irrevocable trust, is to pay for retiree benefits. And that alone.
Right. And I was here when the actuarial did the presentation, Mr. Newton, and he looks in a box, not what we can afford, but what we could pay if we didn't have any other financial worries. And so what he suggested that we need to pay is when all things are well and good. And he didn't consider the school construction debt, the municipal budget, the school department's budget. He's working on just that. I'd be comfortable and this is in light of not knowing how we're going to pay for the athletic fields, which are required to be built for each high school before RIDE reimburses the city. I'd be comfortable, because we're in a crisis situation, to just approve this for 1 year. And I appreciate the mayor looking out for the taxpayers, but we need a long-term plan that we have not sat down, clunked heads together, the council and the public, to get all the answers to our questions, which I want to be considerate tonight, not to keep asking all these questions. But that is the main one, is we don't know how yet to finance. I haven't had the answer yet tonight, the ball fields, which are required for state reimbursement. So I would be comfortable, my comment is that the council only approve for 1 year, because we're in crisis mode. We've done no foreplanning. So the amendment that the mayor can divert these funds for 1 year and revisit this again next year. Hopefully everyone's back here next year, gets reelected on the council, so you could take this up again year by year, because a lot can happen, as my Italian friend says from the Hill, a lot can happen between now and 5 p.m. We have a long ways to 5 p.m. We don't have our ducks in order for financing the athletic fields. That has not been disclosed to us. The bond referendum had a completion date of 2027. Now we're at 2029. For the schools. What does that do to the costs? Now we don't even know when we're going to get reimbursed. I don't want to put Councilman Gephardt on the spot, but it's his amendment for this reimbursement date and 4 years after that. Do we know we can do that? Do we know what the ball fields are going to cost, and how is that wrapped into our general fund or more tax burden? Thank you to the taxpayers. So that is my main concern. I see seniors, well, I'm a senior, but I see more seniors in the audience tonight. I know the concern about the tax burden. And I just want to shout out to them that we're glad the mayor is considering to lower the tax burden this year, but we need the full disclosure of what the game plan is on how to pay this bond debt off in the future and what it's going to cost the taxpayer. We haven't had a forum where the taxpayers have had their questions answered to the state. And the taxpayers went to the polls in 2022. All right, I'll stop there. Thank you, Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Does anyone else in the public wish to speak on this? Just make sure to introduce yourself before you get going, please.
Robert Cushman, Ward 1. Just want to thank Michelle for bringing some of those important points up. I did send an email out to the mayor and to the all the council members, and it's probably not going to be stuff that are going to be answered now, but there's a lot of information and there's a lot of questions I think that really need to be answered concerning how much we're borrowing, the different rates that we're borrowing. We need a lot more transparency as to what's going on in terms of the total cost of the taxpayers. And so I do have a couple of questions, and I'm not, it's just the sun's terrible over here. So in the original bond referendum, it talked about $350 million in bonds, right? But that's not exactly what we're borrowing, right? Aren't we borrowing a max of $325 million?
Yes, but because of the bond premium.
Hold on one moment. So we got to make sure we stay on topic. So we're talking about the proposed change to the ordinance regarding OPEB contribution. We're not talking about the bond. Even Ms. Komar's comment started to deviate, but the only reason why I didn't interrupt her is because that she was talking about the trigger point of when we would get the repayment money, which is
so,
in the proposed
So this
amendment.
All ties into the fact of the matter is we are not getting any reimbursement at all from RIDE until the athletic fields are constructed, right? Is that correct?
That's what...
At the moment, that is what I'm told. At the moment, I don't know what happens
And so right now, there's no additional borrowing to construct the athletic field, right?
No, okay. There's no more bond.
I mean, Council President, that's the only reason why I'm asking. I'm trying to determine, what the totals are. For example, the taxpayers were told we're going to pay 4.5% over 20 years. That's not true. We just did a bond offering of $138 million at 5%. For 25 years.
So that may or may not be true, but that has no bearing on what we're talking about here. Because even if the bond in question that you were speaking of is for $1 billion, it doesn't change the fact that the question before us is about amending this OPEB matter so that we can defer contributions to the OPEB.
So we can finance the current bond. So we got $139 million in bonds that were sold in January, right? Is that correct? Do you understand that?
I would defer to the
administration. Well, I'm asking you.
My answer is the same.
How many more bonds are we going to sell in this next fiscal year coming up?
Again, I would defer to the solicitor, but I'm having trouble following the relevance because I'm required to keep us on topic. Right, I'm not interrupting you for fun.
We're talking about using $5 million from the municipal pension fund because we're reducing it to pay for the principal and interest.
Nope.
So we're not actually talking about that.
We are not taking any money from the pension fund.
The municipal pension contribution is being reduced by 5 point something million.
Not by us. It is just where the municipal plan amortization schedule is hit. I've worked for 3 mayors, and all 3 have had different ideas about what to do with this moment in time.
I'm not arguing against that. I'm saying we're getting a windfall because we're no longer paying 40% of a municipal employee's salary. It's going down to 18%. As a result of that, instead of paying 9 point something million into the pension fund, the municipal fund, it's 3 point something. But there's a $5 million savings. We're discussing tonight taking that $5 million and using that to make the interest and principal payments on the bonds, right? So we should know exactly how much the principal and interest payments are going to be on the school bonds in fiscal year 27, right?
So bear in mind, what we're talking about is having the option to do what you described.
Yes.
This doesn't actually do it because what you're getting to, that discussion, if it passes.
Yeah.
And then if it passes again for second passage, then that discussion happens on May 18th, May 19th, and the final budget.
So what's the total interest and principal payments in the fiscal 27 budget that the taxpayers have to pay?
So I'm going to make sure to formally ask him because I don't want to have to keep debating you on this. Are we on topic here or have we deviated?
We're here to discuss the flexibility of this. Precise numbers are relative to when any potential action could be taken. We're still in the theoretical zone of whether or not this flexibility would exist. I mean, there's a light connection here. We're trying to keep it as close as possible.
I don't even understand what that means.
I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Cushman.
The bonds, the interest rates, those items are not on this agenda. So for the purposes of tonight's meeting, we need to stick as close as possible to the contents of the ordinance.
Can I ask you a question? For example, if you want to make an amendment to spend $5.3 million, can you do that tonight?
There's no dollar amount.
That's right.
To this.
We don't even know how much the total principal and interest is going to be. So technically, this council is blind. If they have more than $5 million, they can make an amendment. If Mr. Gebhardt can make an amendment to put money back in 4 years from now, why can't the council make an amendment to use $5.3 million? Don't we need to know all the math and all the equations before you can come up with a plan of X amount of dollars to pay for principal and interest?
So there's no, in the proposed amendment or the original language, there is not a dollar amount stated because it's not relevant to that question.
It's not relevant.
No, because of what I've already said, we're only talking about having the option to do something. The part that you want to talk about is absolutely relevant for the budget meetings, because that's when that happens.
So if Mr. Lattisaw wants to make an amendment to put $7 million in, and the council agrees, we could do that?
If he wants to put a dollar amount into the ordinance as a proposed amendment, that's his prerogative.
I don't understand how you don't want to know what the total cost is before you decide how much money you want to put into that. That's asinine thing, but I will go on. I will go on. So I might be the only person who actually looked at the 330-page bond document of the bonds that were recently sold. And we're paying 5% interest at 25 years. The taxpayers were told during the voter referendum in 2022, 4.5% over 20 years. How much extra money is it costing the taxpayers for that?
Mr. Cushman, I'm in the same boat I was a moment ago. I'm not sure the
all right,
the
forget it. I will withdraw that question. Mr. Comar talked about we don't have the financing for the athletic fields, right? Right? We all agree on that. Can you explain the concept of why we are using bond premium money? Are we using bond premiums to be able to finance those athletic fields?
Sorry, this isn't relevant to the OPEB amendment.
It is relevant. Because
I'm inclined to agree because as we both, myself and the administration mentioned earlier on, this is about the purpose of this, as was stated, was to pay towards the bond debt. It wasn't to pay for fields or anything like that in particular.
And you have an amendment that says after a certain amount of years, we have to take some money and put it back into the OPEB trust fund. But you don't know what year that's going to be because you don't know when the athletic fields are going to be built and you don't know when the reimbursement's going to come in. So you're going to put an amendment into law that says to do something and you don't even know what the hell the dates are when that has to happen.
So, right, you've described why I did not interrupt Ms. Comar is because she pointed out something that is relevant because we don't know a date certain as to when the project will be done sufficiently to trigger the reimbursement. We only know what the triggers are supposed to be, but we don't know the exact date.
And the finance director just said we have a building committee or something trying to figure out how they're going to build these athletic fields, right? And the thing is, you don't have any money, but I want to let everybody in this audience know what's going on. They are selling bonds at a premium, and maybe someone should describe what that means. They're getting millions of dollars of extra money from these bonds but we're paying a higher interest rate. It's going to cost us more money in future years. And my question is, and you guys should want to know this, if we do this for the entire $325 million, they're going to get $25 million more. What are they doing with that money, and how much is it going to cost the taxpayers? Is this a back-end way to finance the athletic fields because the bond failed in February?
No, it is not.
But then why are you using bond premiums?
Because the way the state mandates it now. But also, this is not relevant to this OPEB
amendment. I know it's not relevant. I guess I'll be back during the budget hearings to talk about it, because then that'll give you a lot more time to do your homework and answer the questions.
I mean, just in all fairness to the administration, they answered.
Just for the council's knowledge, legislation was written, bond premiums can't be used towards the project. So there will be no extra money from bond premiums going into the projects.
And I honestly didn't fully hear that, but I was told something at the same time elsewise. But I just wanted to be clear that regarding Mr. Cushman's comments, the administration did answer all your questions. I understand that, not to your satisfaction, which you explained, which is fair.
Mr. President, I've had my light on for quite some time.
Yep, we're waiting to make sure we get everybody from the public. So is there anyone else from the public who wishes to speak on this?
Mr. President, my question is quite relevant to the conversations that have already taken place.
So right now we're in public comment. That's how we said we were going to do this.
My light was on before public comment.
You moved to open public comment, so I don't understand.
My light came on before anyone stepped up to the podium for public comment. And it was after, I believe, actually my light was on right after, I believe, Councilman Mueller. But anyways, it's a really simple question.
So, as the solicitor just stated to me, you weren't recognized, nor did I even know about the situation you're describing. We're in public comment right now. We're going to do public comment. When public comment's done, everyone can have at it and say whatever you want to say.
Fine.
I'm sorry, please just introduce yourself and
I'm Robin Cardenas, and as you can see, I feel betrayed, and I can't have any trust in anything that's being said. There are no guardrails being set up for how long, how much, or anything else. There's no information being, you know, submitted and that we can see, and it seems a little shady, and that's why we can't be you can't be trusted. That's why we don't feel like we can trust you to do the right things, because these schools have been going on for years. And another question perhaps you could answer, as the school footage has been decreased, is the reimbursement being decreased also?
Miss, I apologize. I can't hear what you're saying. First, can you lean into the mic and say your name again, and then please state your question again so we can hear it?
Because the school footage has been decreased, is the ride reimbursement being decreased also?
I'm here to talk about this OPEB amendment, not about school funding.
Yeah.
Well, we need that because of the schools. It is relevant.
I'm here to amend the ordinance to fund the OPEB trust and that alone.
The same thing we just got done talking about with Mr. Cushman.
There are no guardrails on this amendment. I know there's no time, there's no money set out. There needs to be some guardrails so, you know, either we can say, yeah, that's a good idea, or no, it's not a good idea. You just can't let it go through without a timeline and a money, dollar sign. It has to be some kind of endpoint to all of this. You have to do it that way. This city is a disaster financially. It has to change. It won't change quickly, but you got to start now.
Could you
miss, can you just speak your name in the mic?
Yeah, we get her last name.
If at one point we could get your name, miss, because the clerk didn't catch it, neither did I. All right. Never mind. She's on it. Would anyone else like to speak for public comment? Would anyone else like to speak for public comment? And would anyone else like to speak for public comment? I can't tell if people are saying yes or they're blocking the sun. All right.
Thank you. Don Fife. I got a stupid question. How much debt is the city of Warwick in as of today?
So we're in the same situation we were with the prior two speakers, but that's not particularly relevant to the item before us.
I didn't hear you.
So we can't really get into that because it's not on the agenda. It would be an open meetings violation. I'm adhering to council's advice.
Okay. When was Councilman Mavrola president of the council?
I think that's my answer is unfortunately the same as same far thing. As it, unless there's something I'm missing that's not relevant to the item before us.
All right. Thank you.
So is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on the item before us? Is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak? Is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak? All right, is there any objection to closing public comment at this time then? And that's just for this item, we're not talking about the other two. All right, so seeing no objections, so closed. All right, so now Councilman Lannister, your light is on and I can see that it's on.
Thank you. Go for it. Thank you.